Praise you, the Lord of the Lord. Thank you. God bless you. Friend, we have in Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because of your loving and your mercies and your kindness. God, add your blessing to the ministry of your word, that at the end of this, we shall all say, surely we have seen the hand of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. I'm truly so blessed to be here, and I'm so humbled by the love and by all the kindness that the church has been showing to our people, especially the team that came from the Maasai land. I thank God for your pastor, Glenn, and the team, and all that works with him, for how they have been a big blessing to our people in Kenya. And I have no much to say. I just want to say God bless you. And I thank God for pastor's wife. I'm so honored to have you here today, this morning. You know, I always say some people are so lucky. Because in Kenya, you pay lots of money to get married. And I paid some cows, really, in our tribe. I'm not a Maasai, but so you don't kill a lion, you give cows. So I was forced by this particular tribe, which I married, to pay about 40 cows or more. It depends on how beautiful the woman is. The beauty she is, the more cows you give. I want to tell you with all due respect, your pastor would not have married if he was in Africa. So I just thank God for the grace in America that his servant can get something beautiful without problem. I love the Lord, and I'm so happy to be in the presence of God. I come from Kenya. We are a happy church. And I just said the other day that I preach by faith. People have to listen by faith. And I'm so, so happy to be here. And I tell you, I've been so blessed by pastor that has been taking care of me. I've just enjoyed every minute I've been here. And when Pastor Glenn came to our church, he was so moved and blessed to see what God is doing. So you ever heard him saying, we had some bad time. But you know, the Bible says all things work together for good. For them that love God, them that have been called according to God's purpose. There are things that are not good at all. But when God is in charge, they all turn for good. Hallelujah. And in our desperation, we lost our church. We lost equipment. My cars were burnt. My truck, everything. A lot of money, I tell you. Things that I had worked for all my life disappeared in one day. And I got so much discouraged. I got so hurt. I was so depressed, and I tell you, I could not turn to anybody for help. And one Sunday morning, I walked to the church compound thinking that everyone had left, because we no longer have a church. It's just a field where people have to come or not come. And when I turned to the church on Sunday that morning, I found about 2,000 people waiting to hear the word of God. That particular morning, I had not prayed, I had not prepared, because I knew there was nothing. I was going to resign. I was going to quit. So when I arrived there, I told people, now time to worship. We shall just pour ourselves before the presence of God. and we decided to seek the face of the Lord. And I cannot forget February when we had divine visitation, when the presence of God really came to the church. I'm talking of the presence. And I want to announce to you today, the same presence is here. The same presence is here in the name of Jesus. When the presence of God came so heavily, I'm talking of God's presence, so heavily, and we had healing. And in our church in Kenya, most people are affected with HIV, AIDS. 8 people were completely healed, completely, with no trace. Hallelujah. With no trace of HIV. And I was just sharing a testimony when the mayor of the town, I work with the council, I'm the nominated councilor in our town. That's one of the political things I do also. And the mayor came with a daughter in an ambulance, ready dead. I felt so bad because they had missed the road. They should have gone to mortuary, not to church. And she brought the body in the church. And the driver of the ambulance was so annoyed because they should have rushed the body to the hospital instead of bringing it to the church. And the mayor came and said, please pray for. I went to look at the body. I called some of the nurses in our church, sisters who are nurses. They told me, Pastor, there's no hope. She's dead. And I just encouraged the mayor. You know, we pastors, we have scriptures to encourage people in every situation until when it comes to us, those scriptures disappear. they are always good for others, not for. And I found some scripture. I said, it's well, we shall meet her, everything. But I had some crazy women that could not take it. They were behind that ambulance praising the Lord. And I decided to drive it to the mortuary because I didn't want to have shame that people will start announcing, we brought a dead body, we prayed, it never rose up because it will bring our faith down. And I decided to drive so fast to the mortuary. But before I entered the gate of the mortuary, I looked back, that girl was seated. She had back to life. And I tell you, I am here in the presence of the Almighty God. And I don't care which illness or sickness you have today. In the mighty name of Jesus, he's going to bow. In the mighty name of Jesus, he's going to bow. I am speaking to every cancer. I am speaking to every disease. I am speaking to every stomachache. I am speaking to every backache. In the mighty name of Jesus, is going to bow to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Rekabo soto kololo bashata. Ribabo soto lolo bashete. I just see restoration in the mighty name of Jesus. So we are up today for a serious moment. I want you to fasten your seatbelt, for we are ready to take over in the name of Jesus. The Bible says the world and the generation is awaiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. People who will not take something less than what God has kept it for. And I'm so privileged today to be part of this great work, the harvest time. Hallelujah. You know, time. Everything, the Bible says, everything under the sun has got time. And let me tell you, when the time comes, nobody can stop time. When it's time to die, no matter how many doctors attend to you, you still die. When a time to be born comes, you don't wait to reach to the hospital. When time comes, time has come. And because it is harvest time, we're going to harvest everything that belongs to us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Shekapo soto tobo kote. Every lie of the devil today is coming to an end. Hallelujah. I have a 24-hour prayer net team in Kenya, 24/7 prayer network. We call ourselves the devil stoppers. And we are the only bunch of people that believes when the rapture takes place, Satan will be so happy that we have gone. Because as long as we are there, his operation must stop. And right now, I want to tell you the people are praying. And I can feel a supernatural presence. And I want to speak prophetically today over this ministry. This church, from this very day, it will never be the same. It will never be the same. Because time has come. Change of God. Time has come. Now, I want to share something briefly before I'll give also my testimony of what God has done in my life. In the Bible, I will read from the book of Isaiah 38. And I'm so happy I'm using Pastor's Bible. And I have discovered he read Isaiah 38 before he left, because it is marked. And when I was in his office, I pinched this Bible because I saw it was bigger, because sometimes we believe the bigger the Bible, the holier the person. So, Isaiah 38, and as Pastor said, that I'm preaching by faith. It is by faith. You have to receive by faith. I tell you, the man you see standing before you is a miracle. I don't claim any power. I don't claim anything. One time the Holy Spirit has been teaching me, there is no humiliation in humility. The way up is down. And the Lord has dealt with my life. The Lord has been so faithful. He has rescued me from the snares of the enemy, not once, many times. And that's why I can stand before you humbly. And just by the strength and by the grace of God, these things can happen. I was just telling you, every time I stand before people, many people ask, they would like to see a miracle. I want to say, the man standing in front of you is a miracle. Because there is no way on earth I would have stood before people some years back. And I'm pastoring a church in Kenya. In our town, it's one of the fastest growing church. And I'm pastoring. I've planted over 97 churches in Africa and in Kenya. And I'm the chaplain of the prison. I work with major prisons. I'm in charge of the prison ministry. And I am the senior pastor of the main underground movement in Somalia. And when your pastor was in Kenya, I brought my Somalian pastor to meet him. This Somalia is a place where when someone becomes a Christian, it's like signing your death warrant. Some people get saved today, they are killed tomorrow. But they are willing to pay the price. And sometimes when I come to the country like this, when we have our people who have got all the freedom, who have got all the blessings, and sometimes we want to be pushed, I ask myself, is it the same God we are serving? Because the very God other people are dying for are the same God some people are mocking. And they don't even bother about him. They don't worry about him. They are too rich to think of him. And today I want to fix you into the presence of God, where by the end of this meeting you will start claiming, and you will be so anchored, You'll have the you'll be desiring the presence of God more than ever before. Because I say this in America, God has really blessed you people. I tell you, you have no idea how God has blessed you. You might have few complaints as usual because you're human, but God has blessed you people so much. You have things that some people have never seen it. When my friends, the Maasai, they have been talking to me, they could not believe the kind of food people eat. They could not believe. I mean, they're shocked to see you can have water, eat whatever you want, do everything. They can't believe. And this is just by the grace. And when I preach in Somalia, whereby I know sometimes you'll preach and be killed anytime, but I see the grace of God that you people, you are so blessed to have a place like here. You can sit down, come to church the time you want, and you're not even walking, you're driving, and you just drive the way you want, and you can go home the way you want, and you have ever, I mean, it's amazing. I tell you, the grace of God is upon your life. You are a blessed people. But you know, too much that is given, also much is required. And this is always because one day, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we shall be in the presence of God. And do you know, I'm telling people everywhere I go that there is no crown for churchgoers. Nowhere in the Bible people will be crowned and told, thank you so much, you never missed a service. You are there on time. There are people who have done something. And that's why I'm so blessed by this church for the blessing, for the things you are doing for the nations and blessing the work of God. I was born in Kenya, and at the age of 8, my parents had an accident and they all perished on the road accident. My father was a doctor. My mother was a housewife, and we were blessed. But one day coming from school, I was told my parents are dead. And my uncle could not take care of us because he was afraid we will grow up, we will claim some of the things that belongs to my father. And so we were oppressed from the day one after the death of our parents. My sister got married when she was only 11. And then she died after 1 year because she could not give birth. She died with a little baby at the age of 12. And my brother, one of my brother just died the following year when he tried to rescue me. I'd stolen some things from some people. They caught me. They were beating me to death, and he came to save me, and then he was beaten to death and he died. And so from my life, I became discouraged. I became destroyed. I became useless. I had no hope. I lived in the streets for 9 years, eating from garbage. And let me tell you, when I talk of garbage, it's nothing. You know about it. Here in America, you have no garbage. If you give me your garbage, there might be a hotel by that time. Our garbage are proper garbage, nothing. We were eating there. My life became so bad. I started becoming a rough man at the age of 15. I was so rebellious. I was smoking, drinking anything. I was in drugs. I was in a gang to cause crime everywhere. I hated God and men, and my life was hopeless. But God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It was until I was about 17. I went to a meeting to steal, and God came to me and saved me. I was going there to steal from people because it's so easy to steal when people are worshiping the Lord with their hands up and their eyes closed. It's so easy. It's so, so easy. But that was the same time God also touched me, changed my life. But nobody was willing to attend for me, not even a pastor or anybody, because I was smelling. You know, for 9 years without washing your body, you should be smelling bad. And God just never had the smell. He not only came near me, he came in me. And he changed my heart. and it gave me new hope. In the Bible says, I want to preach this before I continue with my testimony. In those days, Hezekiah became ill, and he was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and he said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order because you are going to die and you will not recover." These are very sad story. And you know, sometimes when you have never been in a situation, you might not understand some people who are in a situation. When you have never lost anything, you have never lost your relative or someone close, it's easy when you find the people who have done it to encourage them and tell them it's all right, they have gone to be with the Lord. But when it is you, you will know it's nothing to do with the Lord there. It's a loss. And the Bible says there was this Hezekiah. There was a time when he was ill. He was sick. And the Bible says to the point of death. And that's all right. And he knew he was going to die because he was already in his deathbed to the point of death. But now when God also sends you Isaiah, and he makes sure it's not just an Isaiah, it's Isaiah son of Amos, it is more serious, because I walk in a prophetic unction. And let me tell you, the joy of any prophet is that when you prophesy something, you start praying that it comes to pass. Otherwise, you will be believed to be a false prophet. So God sends Isaiah to this very particular king, or this man, Hezekiah, and he goes and tell him, go and tell him that he shall surely die and even not recover. He just said, will die. And Hezekiah, when he's being told that by the prophet Isaiah, I know Isaiah is going back rejoicing. Because when you give the word of God, you have joy. You go back celebrating. I've told them. I've said it. I have declared it. And Isaiah tells the prophet, tells this sick man, Hezekiah. He says, "Hezekiah, you shall die." That says the Lord. Let me tell you, there is nothing powerful as that says the Lord. But today I also discovered there's something powerful than that. That says the Lord is like final. It is like it is done. That says the Lord. You know, some of you are scared by that says the doctor. Just that says the doctor is enough to destroy you, to put you into depression. That says the neighbors. That says the friends. That says thy mother. That says your father. That says they are a teacher. Some of us, that is enough to destroy us. But here is a man who is already has an evidence of death in his body. And the prophet comes to him and he says, "Thus says the Lord, that you shall surely die." I mean, I've been at a point of death personally. When I came out of the street, a family took me in, but in a few days I became so ill because I was sniffing glue, I was drinking alcohol, I was putting all this kind, and as the truth is, even right now in Kenya, those orphans on the street, they don't live until 15. They die before they are 15. And I was doing all these things. So by the time I got saved, I had already messed all my system in my body. And that says the doctor, I had blood poisoning, I had kidney failure and all bad kidney, my lungs were not doing well, everything in me was if bad, that says the doctor. And not only that, I was admitted for 9 months, 9 good months, and they placed me to a place near the mortuary. And I want to tell you, in my life, I've seen more dead bodies than living bodies. Because I was in a place in the hospital. I cannot forget this. I was laid in a place. I was being fed like a dog. They used to slide food for me there. because they could not go into the room where I was. The only time they came to my room is to leave a dead body and to pick another one to take to the mortuary. I was in such a room in the hospital. And they were waiting. Every day nurses would come with a stick and try to beat me and see whether I'm still alive. And I would lift a hand or something. They should know he's still surviving, but he shall die. For 9 months, they gave up. They said I was going to die. And I knew I was going to die. And even few Christians that came to that room to pray for me, they prayed for me prayer of death. You know, when Christians don't have faith, they say, let thy God, God's will be done. They don't pray the Bible. There's no way in the Bible saying pray for the sick, for God's will to be done. It says, heal the sick, raise the dead, and there's nothing like that. But when we have doubt and we don't want to be put to shame, we say, the Lord shall do his work. Let the Lord, God's will be done. I was in that position where people said, God will be done. And let me tell you, brothers, Christian, those who came to talk to me, they taught me about heaven. They said, brother, if you die, don't worry, you'll go to heaven. I know more stories of heaven than earth. Because everybody, for 9 months, they taught me about heaven. And how angels will pick me, how I will be with Jesus, how heaven is. And it was in that point of death, I knew I was going to die. And nobody prayed, nobody fasted for me. They all gave up waiting for me to die. Until God himself walked in that room himself and he said, today it's a time for your healing. And he called me. Listen, this is where it shocked me even up to this time. God did not call me Mike. He called me Mika. Only my father used to call me Mika. He called me in the name that only father knew. So it was either God or my dead father. And I knew it was not my dead father. It was my living father. And he said, I am going to heal you. I am going to heal you and to use you to the nation. Now, that was the part I could not believe. I believed on the healing because I was sick. But for the nations, I knew it was impossible. I have no education. I have nobody I knew in the country. I don't know when I was born. I lost every contact with my family. I lost all my brother. I don't have any way. And God is saying, I will use you for the nation. I could not believe it. I could not believe it. But let me tell you, sometimes when God says, whether you believe it or you don't, it will come to pass because it's God. He has said it. When God says something, it shall be done. It doesn't matter what people say. Now, that's why I can identify myself with this particular scripture. Isaiah, son of Amos, goes to Hezekiah. And he tells him, thus says the Lord. Listen, I want you to feel the power of the words of this prophet. When a prophet tells you, you will die, and he's a true prophet, you have been given an opportunity to go and shop for your own coffin. And to decide where to be buried. And to do the final feast. But this particular man did not take Isaiah that serious. The Bible says, this man discovered the word of the Lord is final, yes, but there is another word of God which is more powerful than thus says the Lord. And you know what is that? Thus says the Lord again, you shall not live. You shall not die, but live. Now, this man, Hezekiah, turned. The Bible says, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. Number one, what does that one mean? He means he stopped waiting for the prophet. He discovered there is no hope with this prophet. There is no word I can receive from him anymore. And he turned to the wall. He turned to what he saw at the end. There is nothing more I can receive from this end. He turned. And the Bible says, face to the wall. And he prayed and he said, remember me, O Lord, how I've walked before thee, before you faithfully and wholeheartedly devoted. devotion, and I have done what is good in thy own hand. And Hezekiah wept. Now, this is where the power, you can underline the word, wept bitterly. And then the word of the Lord came back to Isaiah. Now, I get frustrated if God does that with me. He tells me something, and then he comes again. And he tells you, now, this is Isaiah going back worshiping. Father, thank you for his death. I thank you, Lord, because let Israel know, as I tell people to die, they die. Whoever I bless is blessed. Whoever I curse is cursed. And the Lord God uses the same person. This is what God is going to do today. It is the same people that have cursed you that the Lord wants to use them to bless you. It's the same people who have declared your destruction that will talk about your construction. The Bible says, "Thus say." Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. Go and tell Hezekiah. Thus says, this is what the Lord God, now is changing, not just the Lord, thus says the Lord. The Lord God of your father David, to be sure, saying, I have heard your prayer and I have seen your tears. I want you to see those words. I've heard your prayer. God can hear prayers and he can see tears. Okay. Now, God can hear prayers. And this is what the devil knows. And this is what the devil has been fighting to Christian fraternity. I am dealing with Muslims at the moment. I preach in the stronghold of Muslim in Somalia. My pastor, Haji, is one of the people that were organized the bombing of Kenyan embassy, the American embassy in Kenya. He's the guy who was taught to kill and destroy Christianity and Americans. And now is the man preaching the gospel with me about the hope of glory. Now, in a Muslim world, I have discovered that their God, Allah, is not our God. Is not our God. Yet the same very Muslims, they pray 5 times a day. While we Christian, we pray when we are only in danger. They have no true God. I want you to get that. They have no true God. They have no true Savior. They have no true salvation. But yet they are devoted 5 times a day. We depend for prayers Sunday. To come to church Sunday, and you come with your watch. In a mosque, there is no clock. Only in the church, we have a clock. We have to tell God, speak to us with 2 few minutes. Quickly, God, we want to go. We are too busy for him. And when you go out of this place, you are holy than thou. I'm coming from worshiping God. And you never worshipped, by the way. If I calculate the minutes you worship, you'll cry. A good Christian who goes to church every Sunday without failing, and it takes 2 hours, in a month is 8 hours. In a year is 96 hours, which is equivalent to 4 days. Out of 365, you have only given God 4 days. Take a child to school for 4 days, he will fail like a dog. We take our children more than 9 months and they still don't make it. You want to change your life with the 4 days. So which means if I pray for 4 days, I don't need to pray the whole year. I will be like you who just depend on Sunday. And that's why we don't experience the real power of God in our life. That's why we depend on the world more than depending on the Almighty God, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask, who can perform miracles. That's why we depend on, thus says the doctor, thus says the lawyer, thus says the people. That's what the news has for us. What do the present talk about us? What do people say, think about us? Because we have forgotten where the source of the power is. It is in prayer. It is in prayer, church. It is in prayer. It is in prayer. When we pray, we shall see the glory of God. When we pray, we can see things you have never seen by power of your own. When you pray, you can see manifestation. When you pray, the Bible says here, the Lord has heard your prayer. And he has heard your, he has seen your tears. In my life, because of the way I was brought up, I never cried. After I saw my brother dead, I carried him in a sack. I went to bury him. I had nothing. I was digging the hole to bury my brother by my own hand the whole day, alone with other street boys. And we laid the body there. I made a decision. I will never cry. And let me tell you, I never cried. I became a Christian. I became a pastor. I was made even more senior than that. I became an international evangelist. But I never cried. I made a decision. Because my heart was stoned, I became a rock in my heart. I never cried. I saw people dead. I was in battle. Many battles I've been. I've preached in Zaire when people are being killed. And I just say, okay, they are dead. I'll talk to those who are alive. I was never moved by anything. It was until 4 years ago when God called me to go to Somalia. And I told my wife to pray for me because I might not come back. I knew I was going to die. But I was willing to die for him who was able to die for me. And I went to Somalia. And in Somalia, Mogadishu, I went to meet one of my elders of the church called Yusuf. I met this guy who was a short guy, Pastor Yusuf, very, very short. He reached me in my tummy somewhere there. And I went to him, I met him, and this man, he doesn't have hands, no hands, and he has only one eye. And I looked at him, I said, Yusuf, what's the problem? He said, these things, when he became a Christian, because he was a Kathi, chief Kathi in the Muslim, and they told him, if he doesn't denounce Jesus, they will torture him. He stood firm, they cut his hand, they cut all his hands, all his feet, and they gouged out his one of his eye. And this man came, and when he saw me, I came to preach, to bring some Bibles to them. He said, Pastor Mike, I'm so happy to see you. I said, thank you, Yusuf. I hugged him, and he held me, and he started crying and praying for me. Okay. I was so irritated because he was praying a very long prayer, and I was getting tired. And so, I was just like saying in my spirit, I want him to stop and then I will pray for 8 hours so that he knows I'm also a prayer champion. I can't allow him just to waste my time like this. And the guy was praying. I felt nothing. Nothing, no touch, no nothing. He was praying. He was praying. He was praying. He was praying. He prayed. He prayed. And then he said, amen. He was praying, in fact, in Arabic. I didn't even hear anything what he was saying. But when he said amen, I looked at my shirt. From that one eye, he had filled all my shirt with tears. And the Holy Spirit said to me, this man is crying for you. And from that day, the Spirit of the spirit of brokenness came to my heart. God healed all my pain, all my rejection. God changed my heart completely. He transformed me that particular day. Oh, thank you. have mercy on somebody. Oh, thank you, Jesus. From that day, brothers. From that day, God brought the spirit of brokenness, and I started experiencing miracles, and my ministry was never the same. And I started seeing miracles. And I tell you, brothers, everything turned. That says the Lord, you shall not die. Thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Yes, Phil. This man spoke to my heart. I had nothing. But when that spirit of brokenness came, things that were not working in my life started working. Things that were stagnant in our ministry started coming up. The Lord started using us in a mighty way. And brothers, time may fail me to tell you things that the Lord has done through these hands. I've seen dead bodies coming back to life. You have seen the Maasai. It was through that move, God moved me to reach the Maasai. And when I saw the Maasai here the other day, nobody would have said it would happen. It was during that time I went to the Maasai land and I prophesied. I said to them, the water is coming. I had not met Kellner. I had not met your pastor. I had met nobody. I never knew there was a church called harvest time. But I just declared to the ground, I said, there will be water. And it was a year later, your pastor came to Mombasa and they started the water project for the Maasai. I tell you, the Lord can see our tears. The Lord can see our pain. The Lord can hear our prayers. It's only that we don't do it. We are too comfortable to fight, to use our own strength. We believe in our money more than in our faith. We believe in what we can achieve. And some people believe that they can buy this, they can afford this, they can afford this. But there are things God would like us to receive that are more than what money can buy. And today, I just believe there are people here. God wants to deal with your brokenness. There are men here. That's what God is telling me. That until you allow God to break you, your family will never have peace. Your marriage will never experience the presence of God. Your children will never enjoy the joy of the Lord until we break before Him. It was through that brokenness I discovered I was sick. There were some things in my heart. There was some hatred. There was some burden I was carrying. There was some extra luggage that I don't need to carry. I was carrying because the Bible says the burden of God is lighter. Jesus is lighter. When it's heavy, you have added yours. And that time I started seeing cancer getting healed. I started seeing AIDS disappearing. And I've seen cripples walking. I tell you, cripples would walk just like that. Blind eyes would open. I just seen the presence of God. Why? It was not because I changed. No. It was that says the Lord again. And here I've seen your tears. I've heard your prayer. When God hears your prayer, He becomes God. Now you will not control the church by our own strength. The Holy Ghost takes over. When the Holy Spirit takes over, I tell you, things will be different. I tell you. And I tell you today marks a new move of God in this ministry. Thus says the Lord. Today, from the music, from the worship, from the youth, from the every group, from the kids in this church, there will be just a move of God. You will never believe it. I tell you, you will never believe it. And not only that, I see the multitude coming to the Lord. I see the multitude coming to the Lord. And I want someone to record this as a prophecy. This is a prophecy from the Lord. I see the prodigal. Tell Pastor, I see the prodigals. There are people who are in this ministry, they left. I see the prodigal coming back. And God is bringing a fatherly heart which will be willing to go and bring them back, hug them and love them and forget about the past. I see the prodigals coming back. The prodigals are coming back in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just bow down your heads before the Lord Almighty. Because the move of God right now is God is taking over this church right now. God is taking over your family right now. God is bringing brokenness. There's a marriage that is going to be healed today. There's a family here you have been living in argument. Not because of the enemy. It's just the devil has gotten his foothold in your marriage. And you have been arguing. I mean, for nothing. Just argument comes from nothing. You argue for nothing. But it is becoming hard. It is becoming hard for you. Today, I see that marriage being restored now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I just see healing taking place here. Cancer is getting healed. Someone is getting healed of cancer. Someone is getting healed of cancer. Don't be afraid of the name. The name has got no power. We have the name with power. The name of Jesus that is above every name. I just see salvation coming. There's someone here, you're being a good church member, but you've never given your life to the Lord. There are people, several people, young people, you have never accepted Christ as your Lord. I just want to give them first priority before I pray for anybody. If you are here, just lift up your hand. You want to get saved. You have never saved and you're in this church today. I don't want to take that for granted. I don't want to take it just everyone is a Christian here. I want the people who wants to make commitment to the Lord. Anybody here, just lift up your hands. If you lift up your hand where you are seated. You have never given your life to Christ. And you've never confessed Christ Jesus as the Lord and Savior in your life. You're here, just raise up your hand if you don't. Don't fear. Don't allow any spirit of fear because the power of God is in the house. The presence of God is in the house. The healing power. Thank you for that hand. God bless you, my brother. Don't fear. Don't allow fear to pull you down. This is a matter of life and death. Don't allow fear. Thank you for that hand up. Thank you so much. Someone else. There must be somebody else. Don't be afraid. This can be the day of salvation. The multitude is coming back. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. I will honor that brother or that person who have raised up their hand, that boy or that man, anyone who wants to give his life to Jesus. This can be the day of salvation. I just ask someone to walk that brother with their hands up to come here in front together with me here. And then there will be mighty healing. Just, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Don't be afraid. This is the day of salvation. Praise be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. People are paying their life. They are paying their salvation. Anybody else? Just come forward. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Thank you. anybody else, you just feel, you know, you say, don't be afraid. This is the day of salvation. 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 Anybody else? Anybody else? You are these two people here who are Christians, but they have backslidden in their faith. What I mean by backsliding, you no longer love the Lord the way you used to love him. And you know it. And you don't want to shame him. Come forward for renewal. You know it. You know it. Just stand, no matter who you are. I was in a church. When I shared this, there were four elders in that church who had the same spirit. But they were not afraid, because sometimes you don't fear anybody. You want to hear God. You know yourself. You are in a spiritual place where God had lived, and you have gone down. You no longer pray. You no longer believe in God. Just come forward. It's a renewal time. This is the day. And I don't fear what people say. Let me tell you, when God speaks to me, I don't even care how many people are there. Because one day I will stand before God alone, not with anybody, not with anybody, not with the pastor, not with the church, not with the elder. I will be all alone to give account of my life. There is one more person. One more person. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, it's a mighty healing for the family. I want everyone to stand. This is the most important thing any church can have to do. I love you, people. Thank you so much. It's your new life. It's a new day for you. Just before I close, anyone else who wants to join them, do it quickly. Because I'm going to pray for them. And when such anointing is here, it will leave by the time you waste this time. People don't play with such anointing. I've said people in Somalia are paying with their head. They are paying with their hands. They are paying with your life. Thank you, my sister. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Thank you. God bless 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 you. Oh God, have mercy, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Jesus. Have mercy, Jehovah God. Hallelujah. 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 Church, we can all pray and just humble ourselves before God and just bless and cry for the Lord, for the mercy of God. I want you people just say, Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for remembering me. Thank you for renewing me. I confess that you're Lord. Forgive me. Cleanse me, and Lord, restore the joy of salvation. The joy of salvation. Thank you, Lord. From this day, I give my life, I renew my life in your presence, God. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody to give God all the glory. Worship the Lord. Everybody worship. Worship the Lord in his presence.